In Hebrews chapter 9, in the verses that we read tonight, there are three appearances that the high priest made on the Day of Atonement. And I'm sure this is what the writer of the book of Hebrews was talking about when he was writing this portion of Scripture. Now, if you'll see here on the... Somebody's been messing with my phone. You'll notice here on the screen we have... This is a rough draft of the tabernacle itself. And this is the outer court here. This is the brazen altar. This is the laver where the priest would wash his hands as he would sacrifice here. Then he would come into the first veil, and this is the holiest place where the showbread was, the candlesticks, and the altar of incense. Then this is the second veil. And inside the second veil is the mercy seat with the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat. And this is the Holy of Holies. Now, the three appearances of the high priest, he first appeared at the altar, and he offered sacrifices there. Then he would appear in the Holy of Holies and take the blood that he got off the altar and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And then as he did that, he would come back outside and appear to the people. Now, these are the three appearances that he's talking about here in Hebrews chapter 9, appearing there at the altar. And by the way, the high priest had two kinds of garments. He had some that were very colorful and very ornate and very beautiful. And he wore those normally. But on the Day of Atonement, he would pull those garments off, and he would put on garments that were pure white, made out of white linen, and they were just a pair of breeches and a shirt, and that was what he used to offer the sacrifices on the altar, was the pure white linen garment. And he would always put those on only on the Day of Atonement when he was offering these sacrifices. Then, as he would offer in Leviticus chapter 16 first, he would offer a bullock for himself. This is found in beginning at the third verse there. You might want to look at these. We won't look at the details of this. But he takes there a bullock for himself, and then after he offers, kills the bullock on the altar, then he comes by the laver, washes his hands, he comes on here, and then he sprinkles the blood here on the mercy seat. Then he goes back outside, and outside there are two goats, and he casts lots for the two goats. One lot goes to the one goat that he is to kill. The other one is to be turned loose. So the one where the lot is falls on for him to be killed, he takes him here on the altar. He slays the animal. He gets the blood. By the way, when he does the bullock, he comes in and sprinkles it on seven times. Then he comes back out. He gets the blood of the goat, and he comes back in and sprinkles it seven times on the altar and also on the furniture. Then he comes back outside, and he changes his garments, and he gets back to his garments of glory and beauty and glory, and then he appears unto the people. And Leviticus chapter 16 tells us about this, how he does it for himself. Look there in verse 6. He says, "And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house." And then he takes that, the one you see in the context down there, a little bit further on, in the 8th verse, he casts where he casts the lot to find which one's the scapegoat, and then that's for the people. And then he gets the blood and he takes it inside. Look at verse 12. "And he shall take a censer full of burning coals from a fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hand full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not." In other words, he brings fire from off the altar and puts on the incense, and he makes a cloud so that he will not see the mercy seat. He actually sprinkles the blood on the there. He knows where it is. It's right there in the cloud of covenant. But it covers the mercy seat there, so he'll die not. from being in the very presence of God. And this place here is called the Holy of Holies, where the very presence of God is. And only the high priest can come in here one time a year on the Day of Atonement. And then in verse 14 and following, he talks about sprinkling the blood of the goats there. And then look at verse 20. And when he had finished the atoning for the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. That's the one that when he cast lots out here, there were two goats. He kills the one, and then he gets the live goat, and Aaron takes his, shall lay his hands upon the head, lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over it the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send it away by the hand of the fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon it all their iniquities unto the land not inhabited, and he shall let it go the goat into the wilderness, and so on and so forth. And then look at verse 31. And it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. In other words, this Day of Atonement is going to be a day of rest. It's going to be a day when you are to do any servitude work. So they are to lead this goat out there. They have to have several men to lead it because they can't go over a Sabbath day's journey. And so they have 10 men to lead the goat, each one a half a mile, approximately a half a mile. Now, turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 9. I know we went through that pretty hurriedly, but we'll pick up the details here in Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll see these three appearances. We'll see these three appearances of a high priest and our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he appears here three times. Now, if you'll notice the three appearances, and I want you to mark these because you'll want to see these. Look at verse 24. The first appearance is found in verse 24, which says, "For Christ is not entering into the holy place, made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is appeared in heaven, and this is a reference to actually the second appearance that we mentioned here. The first appearance is at the brazen altar. The second appearance is in the Holy of Holies. And the third appearance is out where the people are. And so the first one we found in verse 24 is analogous or a reference to appearing in the very presence of God. Look at verse 26. It says, "For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the age, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Now that's a reference to his appearing, or the high priest Aaron appearing at the brazen altar on the Day of Atonement. Jesus Christ is our atonement. Jesus Christ appeared at the cross to take away our sin. And then the third appearing is found in verse 28. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." He's going to appear a second time without sin, or actually apart from sin. Not without sin, but apart from sin unto salvation. Now let's look at the passage of Scripture. We'll go right down through it, and we'll notice three appearances. We'll notice them in the order that they give them here, but now they were different in as far as the order of the high priest on the Day of Atonement. We'll give the second one first, and then we'll give the first one, and then we'll give the third one. And we'll show the meaning of each one of these appearances and what they mean to us today. All right, look at verse 23 again. "It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these." Talking about the Old Testament purification of the earthly things. In the Old Testament, that they had many earthly, or they had many washings. Oftentimes they would wash, and they would, as we mentioned several weeks ago, that every time the priest would offer a sacrifice here on the altar. And sometimes he would offer the same sacrifice many times in one day. Different Israelites would bring a trespass offering, or they would bring a sin offering here. An animal of some kind, maybe a goat or a sheep, or could be a bird of some kind. He would have to offer that animal, kill that animal. And every time he killed that animal, of course, he'd get blood on him. And he'd have to go here to the lavin. He'd have to wash his hands. And maybe one day the priest would offer maybe 30 or 40, even 50 sacrifices in one day, because 30 or 40 or 50 different people brought animals there to be sacrificed. Because they had sinned, and they were required to do this when they had sinned. And so their old hands would just be completely shriveled up from having been washed so many times. You ladies think you get dishpan hands from washing dishes three times a day, but just think about these priests. Washing their hands maybe 30 times in one day, or so many times, and they'd, like, say they'd just be completely shriveled up. He says there were many of these purification things, these ceremonial things, they were done many, many times. It says in verse 23 again, it was therefore necessary that the pattern or the outline of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. The heavenly things are much better sacrifices. Now, what is the heavenly sacrifice? All right, verse 24 tells us, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the truth. The ones that were made with hands are a figure or an illustration of the truth. The tabernacle was, if we remember when we were going through the book of Exodus in Leviticus, we saw there that when Moses was getting the tabernacle and the Ten Commandments down on Mount Sinai, he says, you are to make this tabernacle, and it's to be patterned after the one in heaven. Now, there is a true one in heaven. Up in the third heaven right now, there is a building. And this building was patterned after it. The temple that Solomon built, and the temple that Zerubbabel built, and the temple that Herod built, these were all patterned after the true one in heaven. They are like the one. Not exactly like it, but it's to the same dimensions, and when we get to heaven, if we know what that one looked like, we'll recognize the building when we get there. It says, it is a figure of the truth, but in Jesus Christ, notice verse 24, he is not entered into the holy place made with hands, as Aaron was, he entered into the one made with hands, which is a figure of the truth, but into heaven itself. Jesus Christ actually entered the heaven himself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And this word appear, mentioned, I may not have mentioned it a while ago, but each one of these words that are translated appear here, all different. Each one of them are different. Neither one of them are the same word. And this word appear here means to appear openly. He appeared openly in the presence of God. And that means to us, when he appeared openly, that means there's nothing between. There's nothing between. We do not need someone today to go between us and God. You don't have to come to me and ask me to pray for you. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can go into the very presence of God. Jesus Christ has appeared there for us, and he is on the right hand of God. Doing what? Making intercession for us. Just like he appeared there in the holy place. And the holy place was the place where God's presence was. Jesus Christ has appeared there. And when he appeared up there, God the Father said, you sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And he's appearing up there to make intercession for us, to plead our case, to talk to God for us. And we have a direct line, and he has appeared openly. It's not a closed thing. It's an open thing that we can, that he's appeared there for us. Notice verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest, entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Now you see, the high priest, he entered often. Every year, on the Day of Atonement, he would have to go in, but he went in with the blood of others. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he offered himself, He didn't offer the blood of somebody else. He offered his own precious blood. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. And he did it not oftentimes, but he did it once. He only died one time. Verse 25 tells us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. And the blood of others there is a reference to the bullock that he would offer, the goat that he would offer. Every year it would be a different goat. Of course, if the bullock would die, he would have to get another. The next year he would get another sheep, and so on and so forth. Every year. Notice verse 26, for then must he have suffered since, often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once. See, Jesus Christ now once. One time. And yet there are people today who have the Lord Jesus Christ nailed back to the cross. They say his death on the cross was not sufficient. They say you can't just believe that he died for you one time. There has to be something else. But the Bible says, but now once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now this is the only purgatory Christians know. You see, he appeared once to do what? To purge us. To cleanse us. Jesus Christ is the one who was purged. We don't have to go to some place after we die and be purged for our sins. Jesus Christ did that one time. At the end of the age, now once, in the end of the age, he hath appeared. And this word appeared is the word for being manifested. He was manifested. How was he manifested? On the cross. John says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because he appeared there on that cross to pay for our sins. And this is analogous to the priest appearing at the altar. The brazen altar where he would slay the animal. As we said, he would have to slay a different animal every year. But Jesus Christ did it one time. One time did it for an eternity. Jesus Christ will never die again. Never, ever die again whatsoever. Why? He died one time. And that was sufficient for the whole world. Now, you know, maybe you're here tonight. Listen very carefully, will you please? Do you listen carefully? Jesus Christ died for you. He died to pay for all your sins. Regardless of how bad you've been in the past, how bad you are now, or how bad you will be in the future, he died and he purged all your sins. And he wants to cleanse you from all of your sins. This is why he went to the cross. That's the reason why he was nailed there and he stayed there between heaven and earth for those 9 hours. Because he had you in mind. He was thinking about you. Because he knew that one day that you would be born. And one day that you would be in rebellion against him and you would be a sinner. Because the Bible says, you see, we're all sinners. Every one of us. We're all wicked. We're all in rebellion against God. We all try to kick God out of our mind one time or another. Or often. But he was nailed there at that cross. And he went there one time to pay for all these sins for you. You. So you wouldn't have to be separated from God forever and be in hell forever and ever and ever. But you know something? You've got to trust him as your Savior. You've got to believe that he died there for you personally. Otherwise, you'll never have eternal life. The same verse of Scripture, the same passage of Scripture says that as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that you, the world, you, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn you. God didn't send Jesus to condemn people to hell, but that the world through Jesus might be saved. He that believes on Him is not condemned, the Bible says. In this same passage of Scripture, nearly just quoted in John 3:14-18. He that believes on Him is not condemned, he that believeth not. So listen to this. He that believeth not is condemned already. You see, what do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Man is already on the way to hell. Why? Just simply because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's John 3:18. Now, when you trust Him, when you rely completely upon Him, when you trust Him to have died in your place, faith in your sin, you'll have everlasting life. You can do that in your seat right where you're sitting right now. You don't have to walk an aisle and publicly profess Christ to be saved. If you'll check John 3 very carefully, you'll find out that He never said that you had to publicly profess Christ. And John wrote his little book to tell us how to get to heaven and how to have eternal life. But nowhere in there does it say you have to do that. But over and over again, he says, when you trust Him, when you believe on Him, you have everlasting life, or you don't perish, or you're saved, or you're going to heaven. Over and over and over again. Why? Because He loves you. And He wants you saved. So Jesus Christ appeared to take away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Just like that high priest offered the sacrifice of that animal, that bull, that goat. It could only do it for 1 year. It could only cover the sins of the people for 1 year. But when Jesus Christ entered, or Jesus Christ was offered, or Jesus Christ appeared on that cross, He was manifested. He was lifted up on that cross. He appeared one time to take away the sin of the whole world. That includes you. That includes you. Notice verse 27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die. What? It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, what? Judgment. He said it sounds mighty hard. It is. Why? Because man is in rebellion against God. It's appointed unto man once to die. You know, you can die once. Everybody's going to die once. What's he talking about? Physical death. Sooner or later, they're going to lay you out on a slab in the morgue. They're going to fix you all up and put you in a little casket and roll you down the aisle of a funeral home or a church. Somebody's going to say a few words over you, and then they're going to take you out that back door and lay you out there in the ground and put you 6 feet under. Everybody's going to have that happen to them. Except one group, one generation. Everybody's died. But if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you only die once. You see, he that is born twice dies once. But he that is born once dies twice. What are you talking about? Well, the Bible says, in fact, that John 3:14-18, that was Jesus Christ's answer to Nicodemus. When he asked, he told Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I be born when I am old? Can I enter back into my mother's womb and be born a second time? Jesus says, no, we're not talking about a physical birth the second time. The first one was physical, but the second one is a spiritual birth. You've got to be born from above, he said. You were born physically, now you've got to be born from above. And when you're born from above by faith in Jesus Christ, then you only die one time, and that's when you die physically. But if you're only born once, born physically, you'll die physically, And then one day you'll be resurrected and you'll be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And there will be a second death. A second death. And when you die the second time, there's no more purging for your sins. That rebellion, that you're not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, will send you to hell forever and ever and ever and ever. And friends, they'll never end. Now, I'm not trying to get anybody to go to hell tonight. In fact, with all of my own heart, I'd rather have you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior than anything I can know of. That's the reason why I'm so desperately trying to explain to you what the Bible has to say. I don't mind you talking. You talk all you want to. But if you're talking, you can't listen. And maybe somebody who is listening to you might not understand how to go to heaven. And they end up in hell. And I just shiver every time I think about anybody. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they... I just shiver every time I think about the possibility that somebody might be going to hell. That's the reason why I stand behind this pulpit Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday. And if you'll notice, we always explain to people how they can be saved. Why? Because we don't want people to go to hell. We want them to die twice. It's bad enough to have to die once. But then there's the judgment. Well, it is appointed unto a man once to die. And after that, there's a judgment. What kind of judgment for you? If you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it'll be the judgment seat of Christ. Where you will be rewarded for all those things that you've done to glorify Him. If you haven't trusted Him, then there'll be the great white throne judgment. That'll be the great white throne judgment where you'll stand before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be judged for all of your work. And you'll be weighed in the balances and found wanting, and you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Notice what he says in verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. We mentioned the last time we preached from Hebrews about the blood. All this is the precious blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us. And he says it wasn't the blood of others, but, verse 26, but then must he have offered, suffered, since the foundation world, but now once. One time. And underline that word once. Because this ends all of man's trying to do something to get to heaven. Jesus Christ died once. And that was the sufficient payment. That was the complete payment. It never has to be done over and over again. We have some people who every Sunday they slay the Lord Jesus Christ again in one way or another. Some do it one way, some do it another. But thank God, Jesus Christ only died once. And that was 2,000 years ago, and it was complete. And I'm so thankful that God showed me this wonderful truth when I was a teenager. That Jesus Christ's death on the cross one time was sufficient to pay for all my sins. All my sins. Everything I ever had done and doing or will do. And he did it once. Did it once in the end of the age. Hath he appeared, hath he been made manifest, was lifted up on that cross to put away, notice, sin. All that blight, all that awful word, sin. Missing the mark, rebelling against God, the thing that has haunted the human race. Time and time. Put away sin by the sacrifice. You see, the sacrifice there again is a reference back to the blood, the shedding of his blood. And as it's appointed on a man wants to die, there's another blight. The result of sin is what? Death. And then there's judgment.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This third appearing here, this word appear means to see with your eyes. You see, when the high priest offered the sacrifice, the people were standing out here and they could look in and they could see that. Then as he offered that animal on that altar, he would catch the blood and then he would go into the holy place. They could not see him there. They couldn't see the high priest while he was in here. In fact, only the high priest could go into this place and no one could see what looked like him there. Our high priest is up in heaven right now. But one day he's going to appear again. And the high priest came out and he appeared to the people the second time. He appeared here, they saw him. He appeared here, they didn't see him. He appeared back out here, they saw him again. Now, we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Many people saw him hanging there between heaven and hell, heaven and earth. And one of these days we're going to see him again. What's he talking about? One of these days, we who know the Lord Jesus Christ are going to see him as he comes in the cloud to get us, to take us to heaven. And I said a moment ago that there's going to be one group of people who will not see death. There'll be one group who will not die. The Bible says we're going to be changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who have died, they're going to rise first. And then our eyes are going to catch you. Those who are alive will catch his eyes. And he'll see them. Won't that be great? To be able to see those. Suppose he came tonight. Before we got outside of this building, he said, oh, he's not coming tonight. That's what they've been saying for 2,000 years. Almost. Now you say, well, that sounded like a long time. Yeah. People have been looking for him for that long. You say, well, look like you Christians ought to get despaired about it. He's going to appear again. And if it says he's going to appear a second time, he's going to find out. He's going to do it. He has always done everything he said he was going to do. And he says he's going to appear a second time. He says he's going to appear a second time, notice, without sin or apart from sin. The first time he died to deal with sin. He paid for it with his own precious blood on the cross. But the second time it's not going to be appearing to pay for sin or to suffer. He's going to appear to take us up to heaven. Unto deliverance. Salvation there means deliverance. And the high priest, when he came back out here the second time, that meant that God had renewed his covenant with the Jewish people for another year. You see, he had to go in every year and he'd come back out. As soon as he had appeared, you can just see all the people being relieved. As he appeared that second time, they knew that God had renewed their covenant with him, and God then, and God was going to have one more, give them one more year to serve them. One more year. Now he's going to appear one day, and he's going to deliver us. Are you ready for him? Would you like for him to come tonight? If you're here tonight and you never trust the Lord Jesus Christ, let me let you in on a little secret. If he appears and you're not saved, you know what will happen? All those in this room tonight who are saved will just go right through the ceiling and you'll be left. You say, well, that won't be so bad. Oh, it won't be so bad unless you know what's going on. Unless you understand what's going to happen for the next 7 years. The next 7 years is going to be the worst time the world's ever known. You're talking about tough. People have never seen war like it's going to be on the earth for 7 years. I mean, nowhere in all the world will there be war like there's going to be. Nowhere in all of history will there be suffering like there has been. It's going to be awful. Can you be saved? Yes, you can still be saved if you don't get killed. You can be saved if you don't get killed before you understand the gospel and understand that God loves you, Christ died for you, paid for all your sins, or you don't take the mark of the beast. You don't take the Antichrist mark. You say, well, you're just talking out of your head. Well, the Bible says all these things very plainly, very clear. That if you take his mark, then you'll be lost forever. But why take a chance? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Then you won't be left behind. Then you too will go up to the third heaven. We'll go on past the moon. We just sort of give it the high sign when we go by. We'll go past old Mars where they just drop down that satellite. We can glance there and see whether there's really any life on both sides or not. You need pucker when you go by, if you want to. You don't. Make sure. Get some expensive rock. Go on past Saturn and see all those rings around it and so on and so forth. All this stuff. You won't care about that. Because then you'll be with a wonderful Savior and great God, the Lord Jesus. He's going to appear. He's coming. He said so. He'll do it. That's all.